You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. Unlike the tremendous rain we had on Saturday, we are still drying out here in Chicago in the suburbs. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, the new pastor at St. Mary Parish in Evanston. And our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408, here on Relevant Radio 950. We have a fascinating topic for you lined up today by our producer, Diane Dunnigan. The formation program for the permanent diaconate in the Archdiocese of Chicago was recently revamped. We'll get the scoop from two of our guests here in studio. Most deacons are married with families, hold down regular jobs, and work many, many hours in their parishes. Some deacons minister in interesting ways outside the parish. We will talk to two of them later in the program. But in studio, we have Deacon Bob Puhala, ordained permanent deacon in 1998, and Bob is the director of the Archdiocese Diaconate Formation Program in Chicago. And with us in studio, Father Dennis Stafford, ordained the priesthood in the Archdiocese of Chicago back in 1991. And Father Dennis is the spiritual director of the Diaconate Formation Program. They will discuss the role of deacons in general and the changes in the Diaconate Formation Program just instituted. Bob and Dennis, welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Thanks, Father Greg.
Thank you very much.
Great to have both of you here. Maybe to begin, Deacon Bob, ordained a permanent deacon yourself in 1998. You know, even before we get into what is the Diaconate Program, the beginnings, all that, maybe your own story for a moment, how you became interested in the permanent diaconate that led you to the big day in 1998.
Sure. I had a great family upbringing. My parents were really strong practicing Catholics. And I really found out what charity and justice was about with the priests at my parish in Annunciation. I was in the Wicker Park neighborhood where I grew up. When we had an influx at that time in the 60s of Mexican immigrants, and they opened up the rectory to provide a shelter. Then we did, we taught English to the immigrants. We helped them try and find jobs, apartments, all those kinds of things. Wonderful example of living out your faith. And so that really helped along with my parents' upbringing. And, you know, I continued that, was involved in various parish ministries. When I was at St. Bartholomew Parish, my pastor, Father George Cerny, came to me one day and asked if I'd ever thought about the diaconate. I was very active in the parish on all the different kinds of councils and ministries, like all the other guys and women that serve the church. I said, I'd think about it. My wife and I went to an information session. It was really funny. We were driving home. The car was really quiet. I was thinking, this is the greatest thing in the world. I was waiting for my wife to say that. Finally, I blurted out, I can't wait to start. And she said, we need to talk a little bit about some of this. My kids were really young, so we decided to wait a couple of years.
And how old were your children at that time?
At that time, there were 3 and 5. And I know now, you know, 5 and 7 doesn't sound like a tremendous difference, but it is when you have small kids, and you know what I mean, and especially when Grandpa and Grandma were then downstairs where we could just hand them off and do the formation requirements. And so then I started the program and was ordained in 98. Wonderful gift of ministry, great experience at St. Bartholomew, wonderful priest. Father Cerny was a wonderful pastor that allowed me as a deacon to do all kinds of ministry. Very interesting because I got to work with the Mexican community and the Hispanic community at St. Bart's, had a wonderful experience there. And then eventually came up to the seminary as an associate director for deacon formation and had moved to Glenview and it was difficult to get all the way down to the city and eventually was reassigned to St. Philip the Apostle Parish in Northfield, which is where I'm assigned now for my pastoral ministry. Again, blessed with a tremendous pastor, Monsignor Bob Dempsey, involved in all kind of ministry there in addition to what I'm doing here as Director of Deacon Formation.
Now, I thought that was a full-time job for you up at Mundelein Seminary with the diaconate program.
It is. We often laugh. It's a 40 to 60 hour full-time job. But like all deacons, you're still supposed to do your parish ministry. So I do all the different kinds of parish ministries that deacons are called to do.
Back at St. Philip the Apostle.
Back at St. Philip the Apostle, assist at Mass every Sunday, preach, do wake services when
baptisms.
Necessary, baptisms. We don't have too many at St. Philip, but do all the baptisms and all the other kinds of ministries, Bible studies, scripture studies, reflections. It's a very active little parish, and that's in addition to what I do up at the seminary. So it's a lot of ministry, but a wonderful opportunity.
Now, in your case, Father Dennis Stafford ordained to the priesthood in 1991, where I was ordained in 1979. For both of us, we were one-year transitional deacons, for you 1990, for me 1978, of course 79. Maybe just for a moment, your own journey and story to the priesthood.
Sure, Greg. My story is maybe a little bit different than Bob's to a degree. Maybe it's similar to yours also, that when I was young, I belonged to the John Bosco Club.
So did I, yeah.
And so I was considering it in the early years, but maybe there was more of a romantic vision at that point, because it was the Latin Mass at that particular moment, too. My path was a little bit different than most priests. I was a businessman. I went to public college, received my degrees at Northern Illinois University. I was a married man also at that time. My call came when my marriage was dissolving to a degree. So, I mean, there's a story behind that also on how there is healing in the church from different aspects of your life and you move forward. I attended a ministry weekend at St. Mary of the Lake. This must have been in 1985 or so, because I was feeling the nudge. There was something else that I was supposed to be doing in my life. That romantic view of priesthood was long gone from my mind. I had seen how priests had operated in a much different way now in the modern age. But I also felt my talents to a degree, my background being in business and marketing, I really thought there was something I could bring to the table when it came to the spiritual life of people. And I used to use the terminology of a product. That's the old businessman in me saying there's a product. Well, we happen to have a product that everybody in the world needs, and that's spirituality. Now, is it Christianity? Is it something else? Very possible. But there is a common element that everybody needs in the world. How do we actually get that into their lives? And I felt there was something in my background that could help our church, especially in this Archdiocese of Chicago, what I had viewed before, that maybe we could bring this to people in a new and exciting way. I didn't know what I was getting myself into at the time.
That makes two of us, yeah.
Especially coming back to an environment of education after so many years away, which is very reminiscent, actually, of many of the men that come into the diaconate. They've been away from school for maybe quite a while, and now it's a new experience, being in a classroom setting, studying once again, doing a little research. But I found it very exciting, and I was very, very happy with the decision, the nudge of the Holy Spirit that pointed me in this direction.
Now, it's interesting for Deacon Bob Puhala, you are literally a permanent deacon, and for Father Dennis Stafford, a transitional deacon, 1991, ordained to the Catholic priesthood in 91, of course, myself in 1979. Deacon Bob Puhala, maybe briefly, before we go to a break, is just an overview of the diaconate program, not so much the history, but when did it begin in Chicago?
Well, I think the first guys were ordained in Chicago around 71 or 72, and that was based on when Paul VI, in 1967, reestablished the permanent diaconate for the Latin Church. And so currently there's about 581 active deacons in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Now, is that up or down from 10 years ago?
I think the total has pretty much been the same. It's pretty much leveled out because we get a number of different men that are moving into the ministry and a number of different mm-hmm. men retire or pass away. So that's held pretty even. We might be down a few, I think. The diaconate had a history of sort of graying in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but especially in the last 5 years, we've done a real good outreach for vocation awareness and the Spirit calls when the Spirit calls. We have a number of much younger guys that are in the program with young children. and families while they're going through formation. So the demographics for the formation program, at least, has changed quite dramatically in the last 5 to 10 years.
Which we'll get to that after a break. It's interesting that as new pastor at St. Mary in Evanston, blessed with a wonderful Deacon Dennis Roback, who I'm sure you both know very well. Now is at St. Mary of the Woods in Edgebrook, Deacon Bill Mages and Deacon Jerry Hennig. But Deacon Jerry Hennig passed away about 5 years ago, only a deacon at that point about 5 years, but wonderful men. We have one in training, Chuck Thompson. So as a pastor, I find the men ordained to the permanent diaconate outstanding, much needed, and we'll talk more here on Relevant Radio 950 AM on Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sack. What's our phone number? 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. A question regarding the permanent diaconate or a comment. We'll be back right after a break.
Catholic Charities 13th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 28th at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, more than 500 golfers will have the opportunity to play on all four courses. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Marianne Dawson, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet celebrities including former Blackhawks legend Stan Mikita. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/golf. That's www.catholiccharities.net/golf.
Calling all youth entering grades 7 through 12 this fall. Come out to our annual Camp Totus Tuus on Monday, August 2nd at Maryville Academy in Des Plaines. Join other young people for a day of fun, discussion, prayer, and mass. Meet with seminarians, priests, religious sisters, and our fantastic Totus Tuus teachers, and experience Jesus in the sacraments. Don't miss this exciting day where you can spend some time thinking about what God has in mind for you now and in the future. Get a registration form at www.totustuuschicago.com or call Pat Pacer at the Vocations Office at 312-534-2587. That's 312-534-2587. I hope to see you there.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is coming up on 9:13 on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. And it's hard to believe this is the last full week of July. Where did June go by? Where did July go by with 1 week? A week from today is we're already into the month of August. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. And take your phone calls, your questions, your comments. And with us in studio, Deacon Bob Puhala, the director of the Archdiocese's Diaconate Formation Program, and Father Dennis Stafford, the spiritual director of the Diaconate Formation Program in the Archdiocese. We mentioned the very, very top of the program, Deacon Bob, that there are going to be revisions. There's a revamping of the Diaconate, permanent Diaconate Program for the training of the men in the Archdiocese, and this would also go with their wives because it certainly affects them. What are the changes? What's happening and why?
Sure. This is the third revision of the program really in four decades. So each time the program has been strengthened. But before I get that, maybe just very briefly, let me set up how we got to where we are today. Prior to when Paul VI reestablished the diaconate in the Latin Church in 67, and then the diocese and archdiocese around the country started to form deacons, there weren't really anything other than sort of general guidelines about how deacons were formed. And so there were a number of different models and programs programs and ways that deacons were moved along to the possibility of orders. Everything changed in 1998 when the Vatican Directory came out, and that was the first actual document that gave us mandates about how deacon formation was supposed to take place. One of the biggest changes in Chicago that came out of that 1998 Vatican Directory was the addition of the aspirancy path, or the propaedeutic period, which added another year onto formation. Prior to that, 3 years was all it took to form deacons. After the Vatican Directory, 4 years, that aspirancy or discernment year, and then 3 years of candidacy. In 2005, then the National Directory, U.S. bishops put out a directory that even more specifically gave four dimensions of formation and specific things that deacon formation programs need to do to form deacons. And so that changed really the ballgame. We have been slowly and gradually implementing the National Directory since 2006. We were looking primarily at the formational aspects of complying with the new directory until this year, when we started to think about ways that we could comply with the academic requirements. So what are those changes then for the 2010-2011 formation year? Well, there's a couple of the essence is that the deacon formation will now be a standalone program, just like priestly formation. We won't collaborate in any academic classes or any formation sessions with any lay apostolate ministry program, but rather we'll have the diaconate as the benchmark for all intellectual and formation sessions. So everything will be focused toward the ministry of the deacon, his mission, and his identity. So there'll be a very, very specific focus.
And all this to take place on the grounds of St. Mary the Lake Mundelein Seminary?
No, not actually, no. We have two campuses. One is the DePaul O'Hare campus. Their new campus, I think, is on East River Road and Bryn Mawr.
Correct.
And then we also do things up at USML. We have a new quarter system. We're moving on to the university quarter system rather than a modified semester system, which should work to the advantage of the guys that are in the program and their wives, because there'll be a two-week resting period between all the different academic and formation demands on them. The academic courses will, in a very specific way, as I said, an intentional way, talk about diaconal mission and identity. There'll be a realignment of the academic courses, placement and sequencing. So now courses will follow more naturally the progression that they should as one moves through a formation in theological and intellectual formation. And as I said, we bring unity to the program because now, just like aspirancy and year three of candidacy were deacon standalones, so too will year one and year two of formation be part of that standalone program. It'll build what the directories call an ecclesial community. It'll help the guys form their identity as potential deacons and help the wives come together more particularly to understand the mission of the diaconate and their responsibilities as they journey with their husbands, as their husbands move toward.
So Bob, what you're really saying is it sounds like the entire process program is in a very similar line or tracking like the seminarians at Mundelein Seminary at the University of St. Mary the Lake in terms of a quarter system, a standalone. Am I right in saying that?
Right. It's very analogous to priestly formation, but with the particular lived experiences of deacons and their wives taken into consideration and modifying that approach so that it is particular to the diaconate where most of the guys are married and do have families, unlike seminarians, obviously, at USML. So it takes into consideration all the different experiences that the Chicago Archdiocese has had with deacons and helps us form then, according to the directories, what formation should be.
Now, Father Dennis, we've just mentioned the changes in the program, the diaconate program, the revision starting 2010. What changes take place from a spiritual dimension, and you're the director?
Spiritually, nothing really demanding changes in that regard. It's been a very strong program from its outset because we do ask the gentlemen, I'm known as the primary spiritual director for everybody that's in the program, but everybody has their own personal spiritual director, which they're meeting with on a monthly basis through all 4 years they're in the program. We strengthen all aspects of their spiritual life. I did institute something about 2 years ago, and once again, we've been gradually transitioning, just like the directory said.
And what is that?
And that's a spiritual autobiography. They make an autobiography when they apply to the program. 2 years ago, we now have them updating that every single year in the program. It gives us benchmarks to see how they're progressing, how the nudge of the Holy Spirit is touching the deeper inner part of their life, their soul searching, and the prayer aspects. So we take a deeper look. This is all confidential, once again. Any kind of spiritual direction is internal forum. But we do walk with the gentlemen all the way through to see just where they are in their prayer life, their sacramental life on Sundays, how they're participating, how they're growing in all of these aspects.
Bob?
I just wanted to say that it's really important, Father Dennis and I want to emphasize that the new revision in the Deacon Formation Program is simply a continuation of the excellent formation program that's been in place in the Archdiocese of Chicago, often recognized as maybe the best in the country. This continues that tradition, and the change that is taking place in the program shouldn't in any way be misconstrued as any kind of criticism or deficit in the program. It simply is looking at the directories and taking a wonderful opportunity to see the resources that the directories give us to form even more and better candidates.
What you're really doing, you're taking an outstanding program and making it even better.
Correct.
And there's nothing wrong with change. You don't do it for the sake of change, but you know, any excellent program, you want to continually look ways to even make it better based on the experience from all these now 40 years to this present moment. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, and our guest in studio, Deacon Bob Puhala, Father Dennis Stafford, will be back right after a break. Do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. Feel free to give a call regarding the whole permanent diaconate program in the Archdiocese of Chicago. With us in studio, Deacon Bob Puhala, the director of the Diaconate Formation Program in the Archdiocese, along with Father Dennis Stafford, the spiritual director of the Diaconate Formation Program. Call in with questions. And if you happen to be a permanent deacon in the Archdiocese of Chicago, give us a call. What's been your experience? Questions you may have. Or if you are thinking about entering the program, today is the day. Even if you're driving the car, listening at home, maybe the Lord is tapping you on the shoulder to make that plunge, that next step. And with us, with Deacon Bob Puhala and Father Dennis Stafford, what better way to get it right from their mouth in terms of what to do and how to begin the whole process. We have with us on phone newly ordained Deacon Gary Kupsick of St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish in Mundelein, and Deacon Gary is a retired police chief currently working for the Lake County Sheriff's Department in the Court Security Division. His ministry as a deacon involves working with prisoners at the Lake County and Illinois Department of Correction Prisons. Deacon Gary Kupsick, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and congratulations as a baby deacon.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
And it's interesting, with your background as a retired police chief, currently working for the Lake County Sheriff's Department in the Court Security Division. I guess the question I have for you, Gary, is, as I meant, asked Deacon Bob and Father Dennis earlier, their story to the diaconate and the priesthood, how did you get to where you are today as a newly ordained deacon in the Archdiocese? How did that happen?
Well, you know, it was quite a transformation. And 7 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have never, ever thought that it would be possible. Because in the law enforcement profession, at least from my perspective, you kept people away from you. And you did that because you sometimes got hurt by people who may not be completely forthright with you. They may have bent the truth a little bit. So in order to isolate yourself, to protect yourself, you keep people away. And through my entire life, adult life, as a police officer, that's what I did. And I always had this little voice in the back of my head saying, God's calling you. And I put it off. I've always found ways, reasons not to follow it. And then one day, through a very, very good friend of mine, who was an ordained deacon and is currently an active police officer, police chief, the call became very apparent. And through my pastor, Father Ron Lewinsky, we began pursuing the journey to the diaconate. And it's a journey that has been very fulfilling, but one that dismays quite a few of my colleagues and even some of my family members who just can't understand the transformation from that police officer to the diaconate.
What's interesting, Gary, and that is when you felt the Lord nudging you for years, you know, about ministry, about the diaconate, and again, like so many of us, you put it off, or do you tell God to call somebody else? And it kept, the Lord kept pursuing you. You talked it over with a good friend. You prayed about it, talked with family. And here you are, a permanent deacon in the Archdiocese of Chicago, one of 15 men ordained this last May. And you know, maybe just a moment before we go to a break in a couple of minutes, is describe to our listeners the formational process you went through in the 4 years of study from a formational point of view, an academic point of view, and a spiritual point of view. We need to let our listeners know it is doable, and too many, I think, are intimidated to even try to begin.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. I think that the there was a great deal of trepidation on my part about entering the program. You know, we always question, are we worthy? And none of us are really worthy, but we were confirmed. The confirmation from the staff members, from Deacon Bob, from Father Dennis, from the pastoral staff, that, you know, that you can do it, and that with attention and with devotion to what you have to do, with prayers of the people around you, and by the grace of God, that this program is very doable.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. In the 4 years you were in the program, did you ever seriously think about stepping away?
How many times? I mean, there were a number of times that I thought that it may not be what I was looking for. It may not have been, more importantly, what God wanted me to do. And so I think even up until the very, very last year of formation, you had these questions about what a responsibility that you had to to God and to the Catholic Church, and were you capable of fulfilling that?
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz. We're talking about the Permanent Diaconate Program in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and our guest, Deacon Bob Puhala, Father Dennis Stafford, and newly ordained Deacon Gary Kupsick. We'll be back right after a break.
Hey, Father Cusick.
Hey, Dr. Kate DeVries.
Do you think all of our listeners have heard about Theology on Tap's 30th anniversary celebrations?
Let's tell them. Theology on Tap is a summer speaker and discussion series aimed at people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's been serving the finest of theology speakers in conversation for 30 years.
That's a lot to celebrate. This year we begin July 11th and go until August 6th with some wonderful speakers and topics.
And then on Sunday, August 8th, Cardinal George is celebrating Mass at 3 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral for everyone who has ever been a part of the program.
After Mass, the Cardinal invites us all back to his residence for a picnic. What a fun way to spend Sunday in the city.
And additional events are also being planned for the 30th anniversary.
On July 23rd, Father Cusick is leading a talk, Why Should I Go to Church? It's a key question. It's open to all past and present Theology on Tap participants and their children.
Details about additional special events can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and you can purchase tickets for the August 8th picnic there as well.
Come celebrate 30 years of Theology on Tap with us. Again, details are at yamchicago.org.
Let's keep tapping, and God bless.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. on this gorgeous Monday morning in Chicago. Today's high about 87. And no rain forecast until, I think, Wednesday. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. And we are talking about the formation program of the Permanent Diaconate Program in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And with us in studio, Deacon Bob Puhala, Father Dennis Stafford, and by phone, newly ordained Permanent Deacon Gary Kupsick. Gary, I mentioned at the outset when I introduced you that your ministry includes working with prisoners at the Lake County and Illinois Department of Corrections prisons. Tell us something about your jail ministry as a newly ordained permanent deacon?
Yes, thanks very much for asking. It's a very important part of my ministry, and there's somewhat of a dichotomy in that for years and years and years, I put people into jail or participated either peripherally or directly in doing that. And during formation, it was during a class in New Testament that we were talking about Matthew and Matthew 26, specifically about separating the sheep from the goats, and about doing for Christ what we do for the least of our brothers. And what really struck me was about caring for those in prison. And so after praying a great deal, I moved forward and contacted a wonderful Catholic man who happens to be the sheriff of Lake County, Mark Curran, and was able to become a volunteer chaplain at the Lake County Jail. And as part of my duties, I minister to men at the jail one evening per week. I come over and make myself available to talk to men about their relationship with Christ and how at this particular time in their lives, Christ and faith fits into the predicament in which they find themselves.
Now, how does it touch your own heart? It was interesting you said in your former life as a police officer, then police chief, you were doing the arresting or involved with it. Now you are talking to men and, I presume, women who are in prison from the inside, but all of a sudden you now come as a man of God in a spiritual way, which you were even then as a police officer, because, you know, by our baptism we are called to serve in different ways. So how has this ministry touched your heart when you deal with the inmates in the prisons?
Well, I think what it has brought, at least to me, is that that spirit of forgiveness that we must, as Christians, portray if we're to live our lives in the image of Christ, to be able to forgive. Now, I'm not suggesting that we forget about the debt that they have to pay to society or their actions to civil law. But what I am suggesting is that there's a great deal that we can do to forgive them. God forgives them as long as they're sorry, as long as there is a great deal of concern on their part for not committing crimes again. We can forgive them, and we can be there for them. And sometimes they're an aspect of society that is completely, totally forgotten. You know, out of sight, out of mind, the best place for them is in prison, and let's just forget about them.
See, I think we have to remember these are human beings who are loved and forgiven by God. What's interesting is, you know, when I was at St. Mary of the Woods in Edgebrook, on the Northwest Side, many police officers, men and women from the community, and I would talk to them. And a few have said to me, you know, Greg, it's very tough to forgive when someone shoots at you or hits you. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about you now, Gary. I'm sure you have story after story after story as a police officer, as a police chief, where you dealt with some very tough individuals, and now you find yourself on the other side of the fence needing to, you know, forgive or to be forgiven.
Yeah, and you know what? It's still, you know, working in court security, there are people who will push you to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Christ ever asked us, you know, to not stand up for what we believe in. But there comes a time when we have to be able to say, we forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
We may not forgive you, and we may not say you don't have to pay for what you've done, but there comes a time when someone admits their guilt, says they're sorry, that we like Christ, have to be able to forgive them. And that's something that I couldn't have done 10 years ago, but through the transformation of the diaconate, of the formation program, I'm trying every day to do that better and better.
And I think, you know, Deacon Gary Kupczyk, you have really hit on something important, and the word is conversion. Conversion is not the miracle of the moment, but rather the task of a lifetime.
Absolutely.
It's a great line. Conversion is not the miracle of the moment, but rather the task of a lifetime. We need to bring this segment to a close. We want to thank in a very special way newly ordained Deacon Gary Kupczyk of St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish in Mundelein. He is a retired police chief currently working for the Lake County Sheriff's Department in the Court Securities Divisions. Deacon Gary, also say hi to your wonderful pastor, Father Ron Lewinsky, and the staff. Keep up your newly great ministry. God bless you. We'll go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950, and the time happens to be 9:40 on this Monday morning in Chicago.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Want to learn more about the Junior Board? Come to our general meeting on July 29th at 6 p.m. at 721 North LaSalle to learn the ropes and get involved. All are welcome. Save the date for these fun Junior Board events this summer. July 31st is our Faith Committee scavenger hunt. Search out some of the pillars of our Catholic faith in Chicago and end with a social fundraiser at Bull and Bear. Raise money for our Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program at the 6th Annual Cubs Outing on August 21st. Tickets are $50 and on sale now on our website. Cruise with us for a good cause on the 8th Annual Boat Cruise on the Innisfree. Music, food, and open bar on August 27th from 7 to 10 p.m. for $65 a ticket. These events are open to all Junior Board members and friends. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Men of Honor is the theme of this year's Totus Tuus Leadership Camp for high school age young men. The camp will be held at the Bishop Lane Retreat Center in Rockford from Sunday, August 8th through Wednesday, August 11th. Come enjoy sports, discussion, daily mass, adoration, and some quiet time for reflection. Go to chicagopriest.com for registration materials or call the vocations office at 312-534-2587. That's 312-534-2587. Men of Honor, we'll see you in Rockford.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, and we're talking about the permanent diaconate program in the Archdiocese of Chicago. In-studio guest Deacon Bob Puhala, the director of the Diaconate Formation Program in Chicago, and Father Dennis Stafford, the spiritual director for the Diaconate Formation Program. And now with us, and we have now with us on the air via the phone, Deacon Sal Lima of St. Rene Goupil Parish. And Deacon Lima is the communications director for the Carmelites. And Deacon Sal initiated a simple project helping one school in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina that has turned into a ministry involving over 200 volunteers called Hopes on the Way. Deacon Sal Lima, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, Father Greg.
How are you, Sal?
I'm fine, thank you.
What year were you ordained to the permanent diaconate?
Yeah, I was ordained in 2001.
Oh, so you're a real veteran then.
Yeah, a few years. I think nine now.
And a question I asked Deacon Gary Kupczyk when he was on with us a few minutes ago in your own story, and that is, how did you end up entering the program and ordained the permanent diaconate in 2001? You know, briefly tell us your story.
Well, let's see. I was at St. Fabian Parish in Bridgeview. That's the parish that I had been in for, 23 years at the end. But they had one deacon, Ken Schoenfeld. He'd been there for like 20 years. And when the new pastor came in, he did a project called Tomorrow's Parish, and they indicated that it would be nice that we would get another deacon in the program. And so actually I was asked by just a number of people, and I actually said that you're crazy. but the thought never left me. And eventually I did get, you know, asked to go into the program and, of course, become ordained.
The thing is then, ordained in 2001. Have you been at St. René Goupil since then?
No, I've been at St. René the past 3 years.
St. René the past 3 years. And now tell us something about that you are communication director for the Carmelites. Is that your full-time ministry?
Yes,
is that your full-time job?
It is. I'm here today. I work for the Carmelites as their communications director, and I'm editor-in-chief of their magazine, the Carmelite Review.
And the thing is, now tell us something about this incredible program you run called Hopes on the Way, where you're helping one high school in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. How did all this come about, Sal?
Well, I first made a connection with an article that I received from Sister Angel Siadier. She's a sister with the Congregation of Our Lady of Mount Carmel down in New Orleans. And right after the devastation, you know, the hurricane, we were told, like, don't even think of going there because there's really no facilities for you, and that was rightly so. But Sister Angel was in their mother house. They have a nice mother house, a high school, and in the Lakeview area, just actually blocks of the 17th Street Breach on the canal levee by Lake Pontchartrain. So she, because they had the evacuation was on again, off again, as you recall, she actually got stuck and had to end up staying in their four-story, strongly built mother house. And so she was there during the hurricane and then also the subsequent levee break. And so she wrote a story for me for the Carmelite Review that I received in October of 2005. And I was so taken back by the devastation of this, and I just thought I had to do something. So about December, I called the congregation president, Sister Elizabeth Fitzpatrick, and said, is there something that perhaps I could do? And so she invited me to come down and take a look. And so basically from there, I mean, I flew down with a good friend of mine, Deacon Joe Winblad. He taught shop in high school, so he was pretty knowledgeable about tools and things, and we flew down. We spent the weekend, and the sisters showed us this little tiny building, and about 3,500 square feet compared to the rest of the buildings there, and said they put all their money into the school, so they really had no additional money. They were trying to get the school up and running right away, and this little building was their print shop, the lifeblood of their communications there. And could we help to rebuild that? And so, as you know, I came back, and within 3 weeks' time, I got five other deacons from Chicago, a deacon from New Orleans, and we came together, and we put 260 man-hours of labor into that building.
Wow.
And gave them the keys to the building at the end of the week.
It's interesting, I was listening to your story, and before that, Deacon Gary Kupsick, and of course with Deacon Bob Uhala and Father Dennis, the line that strikes me, it's from a John Lennon song, "Life is what happened while I was making other plans." It's a great line. Life is what happened while I was making other plans, and for us to be open to the Spirit of God within us, and every morning I say this prayer, Lord, what do you ask of me today? And give me the courage to do it. And that's, the first part is easy, what do you ask of me? But then secondly, give me the courage to do it is the hard part. Deacon Bob Uhala, you've listened to two deacons tell their story of how they came to where they are. In the work that you do, what role do you play in helping a man discern the process? And at the same time, please give us a number that someone can call you to learn more about the whole diaconate program in the Archdiocese, and also what role do the wives play in all this?
Sure. Well, first of all, if anybody wants information about the Deacon Formation Program, they can contact us at 847-837-4565.
That number once again.
847-837-4565.
And a web?
And our web is usml.edu.
again?
www.usml.edu.
Now, in all this, what role do the wives play, or they do need to play? Help us out.
The wives play an extremely crucial and vital role, and we've been talking about deacon candidates and aspirants and the guys during the show. But we want to talk about the special blessing that the wives are as they accompany their husbands through the program. People don't realize the real sacrifices that they make themselves, time they give up with their husbands, time that they sacrifice with their families as their husbands go through this relatively rigorous formation program. They also now are required to participate in key events, which is somewhere around 10 or a dozen or so different formation sessions. They have a special couples retreat that they participate in. There's a special program that we've developed called Women of Witness, and that was developed with our Associate Director Ann Krizan and Father Dennis Stafford, that speaks directly to the needs of the wives and their common experiences as they accompany their husbands through the program. We've started classes like Human Development and Growth to talk again about relationships between husbands and wives as they move through the program. And on the couple retreat and the couple retreats that we started, we also talk specifically about marriage issues in general, and then how formation may add different little stresses onto one's relationship as they move through the 4 years. So I think people don't realize that while the guys do a lot of work, the wives
also do
a tremendous amount. And frankly, because they need the guys need their wives' consent to move forward at every step in the program, they couldn't do it without their wives' consent.
I think sometimes people forget with the permanent deacon. You know, my experience has been like when I was at Seminary of the Woods, you know, with Bill Mages, but Patty Mages, his wife, marvelous, and her ministries that she was doing involved in the parish. And Jerry Hennig, before he died, and to this day, you know, his wife, Bernie Hennig, deeply involved at St. Mary of the Woods. So I think sometimes we forget the wives, not only in the role during the program, but their involvement in parish, you know, with their husband when he's ordained a deacon. Deacon Sal, question that is, with Hopes on the Way, how has your project helped trigger other local projects in and around the high school?
We ended up doing 11 missions down to New Orleans after that one project. On the way back in the car, one of the guys said, "Well, when are we going again?" And so that spurred us to do even more things. I mean, we went back and we helped the mother house rebuild. We built their kitchen. We tiled 26 bathrooms, laundry rooms, whatever. We made several trips back there to help them to get their place back in order. But from that, we moved on to help Catholic Charities in New Orleans. We helped a group called Church World Services, an ecumenical organization. We worked with the North Shore Disaster Recovery out in Slidell. We ended up helping various folks, Baptist ministers, someone in Harvey. We even helped a deacon down there that helped us. It was interesting. We needed someone on the floor, a carpenter, someone who knew New Orleans, the rules, the regulations, and we hooked up with a man called Deacon Dwight Alexander, and he was a deacon in New Orleans that lost everything as well, his cars, his house, and everything. But he was willing to help us not only on that first trip, but on all the trips. So he came to help us. We were all deacons working together with other volunteers. And we ended up going back and helping him quite a bit.
Sal, if anybody wanted to make a contribution to help Hopes on the Way, give us a phone number, give us a web.
We don't use a phone number exactly, but we do have the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's hopesontheway.org.
Hopesontheway.org.
Yes.
Okay, and by going and clicking on there, they can then learn ways to maybe make a contribution to help your tremendous cause. Father Dennis Stafford, as the spiritual director for the Diaconate Formation Program, you're critically involved in the process, in the journey to the permanent diaconate day. Does your work involve anything after they are ordained?
Actually not, Greg. That is something that is handed over for the vicar, for the diaconate community. I'm always open to anybody that needs any assistance in their spiritual direction or whatever else they may need in their lives. If we could just go back for a second too, Greg, we were talking about the aspirancy program and the wives. They are integral to the prayer life of the gentleman too. One thing we've learned through experience is that the wife really shows by example and keeps their husband grounded in a true spiritual life, in that prayer life. We've learned that through experience over and over. So we do thank them for that too. And everything that we're hearing here today, I think, from the ministries that go beyond the Archdiocese and those within, they are truly grounded in prayer. And our deacons and their wives are truly grounded in their spiritual lives, and that's how they can move forward in their ministry.
I think it's very important. And Deacon Sal, question is, I mean, you have an incredible schedule besides full-time's communication director for the Carmelites. There's Hopes on the Way program with all the other interconnections. What are your responsibilities at St. Rene Goupil Parish as a deacon?
Well, actually, I do serve there quite a bit. My wife and I are really an integral part of the parish. We are co-spiritual directors with the Christ Renews His Parish program there in the parish. I do a few masses each weekend. I preach at the parish. I do the baptisms. I am involved with our sharing parish, St. Benedict the African,
mm-hmm.
and go there every once in a while to do a mass, to deacon the mass, and to preach there as well.
Sal, how has the permanent diaconate program touched, changed, and affected your life these last 9 years?
Well, it's pretty apparent that it has totally changed my life. I mean, God called me to walk in ways that I never thought possible. It has just touched me deeply to be able to serve others. I have a great a feeling for this, an enjoyment of being, to be able to serve God's community.
That's more, Bob.
I just wanted to give a better phone number to contact us. Contact me directly, and then I can talk with anybody personally if they have any questions. 847-837-4564.
Try the number again, Bob.
That's 847-837-4564 to talk with me personally.
The thing is, in just the last couple of minutes we have, either for Deacon Bob or Father Dennis, anything you want to tell our listeners regarding the whole permanent diaconate program, or is there any myth that you'd like to clear up what it is not?
Sure. I'll just tackle one thing. As we talk about all the gifts and blessings that the women are to the program, not only as they accompany their husband through formation, but also for post-ordination and the ministry they do in the parish. One of the important things, though, to keep in mind is in fact, that the wives of deacons have no obligation to do any particular ministry in the parish once their husband is ordained. The way we try and explain it is that God calls all of us to individual ministries, and we try and listen to what the Spirit tells us, and then we work on that. A wife may fully support her husband as a deacon, and her primary ministry is praying for him and supporting him in that way. She may also provide support by taking care of her own career, maybe doing her share with the kids and continuing prayer, continue supporting him in prayer. She also might participate by assisting him in other ministries as well. But it's important for the wives and the women of men that are considering diaconate to realize that God calls them to their own particular ministry call. And so they shouldn't think that they'd be expected to do the things that their husband does, or their pastor should expect them to do more than they're currently doing, because that's not what the program is talking about.
And Deacon Bob, what is the minimum age a young man may consider the diaconate program?
31. You have to be age 31 to apply to the program, age 35 at ordination.
So 31 to 35.
Right.
And I want to thank in a very special way, maybe before we close, Deacon Sal, do you have any new projects on tap, or are you about at max right now?
Well, yes, actually, since with the economy being the way it is, we recognize that there was a great need for assistance here locally. So since July of 2008, we have participated in 5 projects here in the Chicagoland area. We just completed in July working at the request of Catholic Charities for St. Vincent de Paula Shelter on 78th and Ellis. We remodeled a kitchen and painted hallways and did some stairwells, and they've invited us to go back there again and to help them in the future.
Well, that is marvelous. I want to thank in a very special way Deacon Sal Lima of St. Rene Goupil Parish, ordained in 2001. Special thank you to our in-studio guest, Deacon Bob Puhala, Father Dennis Stafford, for joining us from the Permanent Diaconate Program. Dennis and Bob, you're doing marvelous work. Keep up the great, great ministry. A special thank you to our outstanding producer, Diane Dunnigan, an outstanding engineer today, normally a producer, Jim Dish. To our listeners, thank you for joining. God bless. Have a wonderful week and try to stay dry.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.